I was actually thinking about doing that because with the fan wiki for my high top, but I just don't have time to do it. So what I do is I'm the lazy artist, kind of sad to say, but I put the character bios in the back of the comic. So like if you read the high top like 1 and 2, or I didn't start doing it till issue 2. So issue 2, 3, 4, and 5 has like the little when I introduce the character. Issue 3 has their character bio. Issue 4 has their character bio. So that's what I do with my comics now. So.
That's actually a really good idea. I like that. Like one of the things that we did in our comics was our first issue, we didn't do this, but the second issue of our Seer Chronicles, we wanted to build the world out more. So like our bio, we wanted to do on the wiki, but we didn't know, like you can't really do a wiki on your city. You know, you can, I guess. But like what we decided to do instead was we have a newspaper company in our a comic book world. And so the first 2 pages of our flagship comic, the Seer Chronicles, is a newspaper that you can read through. And there's articles in there that are like some of them are relevant based on like the previous comics. So it's kind of like a little flashback or like a, you know, remember this happened. And then some of them are like random articles. And it was kind of a cool idea to like build that out and have this. You know, just feeling like it's a real city and not just these 3 blocks that you've seen so far. And then we've even done more stuff like, you know, add restaurant advertisements in it. So you can see like this is like that's in the city. And like you'll see that if you read the comic. So it's kind of cool.
And I don't have like a actual like Bible for all of our stories, but there is an idea
Notion.
that. There is an idea that we do have in the future. So don't care if you take this idea and do it for your own stuff, but we're still doing it. We're creating a history book of all of our stuff, and there's actually going to be like history from like the beginning to like present day of like an actual history book that you would get if you go in like history
Yeah,
class.
like we want this to be like an like if you don't know that it's under the fiction section, like it's like history, like what is this city? Like, you know, there is history, what is this place? So like, yeah, like we want to use tons of stuff. I think part of that got inspired by was it Timothy Fling and his maps. He's got some like really cool maps in his comic books. And so like being able to build out our world, like we have like a map kind of our like world, and it's kind of like done in like paint or something. It's at least
Google drawing, so it's
Google Draw. Yeah, it's just like a real basic layout of what we want to do for our world. But our city so far, like we actually our main city, we have a 3D version of it, like a model of it that we can actually go street by street and know where everything is. So like, you know, yeah, we took like that world building like down a rabbit hole. But it's cool. And the reason why I do suggest that for some people is that the idea started with wanting to build a 3D model of our world so that we could give it to our artist and be like, hey, listen, when they're running down this street, here's all the buildings. We don't have to like list them off. You can see a 3D rendition of them and then draw them into the comic. And that way, when somebody's leaving the police precinct and they've only run 3 blocks, they're not all the way across town suddenly. Like it's consistent. Like our biggest thing was that we did not want to have a world where so basically you've got the Marvel comics that are all in like, you know, basically our universe, like in on Earth. So like if they say New York City on Fifth Street, like they can't really mess that up. It's, you know, it's Fifth Street. But in DC, they got made up cities. So like they could be on one side of town and then magically on the other if you don't know the layout of the land. And so, because we make up our own cities, we don't want to fall prey to that. And so, we want to have like these full renditions of it. But what happened was the person we hired to make the 3D rendition was building it in Unity. And we're like, oh, like the game development platform? And so, that actually led to this idea that we should eventually turn our comic book into a video game. And we're kind of like already slowly on our way there by doing that. So, it's kind of cool. Like, when you build stuff, you don't know what it's going to turn out to be. Just by, you know, starting.
I can't wait for that. Where do you see like indie comics going in like the future? Like just how they're gonna evolve, even like the industry in total, like the entertainment industry.
Well, I mean, I don't know where it's going. It constantly evolves. I tell people to keep an eye on Whatnot because I think Whatnot's going to be a bigger mover than it already is. I mean, it's buying up properties and you know, being a big seller on the market. So it's kind of jumped in there. I think LCSs are going to struggle a little bit more, but with other companies coming in, publishers like Penguin Random House and Universal coming down from Canada, that's going to be a game changer in the future. As far as them going into movies and TV shows, I don't know if it's going to be as hot as it is now. I think it's going to taper off just a little bit.
I don't see comics going anywhere anytime soon, going away anytime soon. So that it's going to be around for a while. Like, is this too much money to be made with the future comics? Like, whether it's DC, Marvel, Image, or picking up indie comics or whatever it is. Is this too much money to be made? Whether it's animation, live adaption, video games, is there so much source material? You can go back to the comics. So I think the future of comics is looking bright and better than it's ever been. It could have started off what the nine. Well, Stan Lee started off in the 80s, tried to do the Avengers and Thor and stuff like that, and then Spider-Man, and then evolved into Blade, and then Iron Man, and then the Spider-Man movie. So is it too much money to be made? So
yeah, I agree. Yeah. So as far as indies, crowdfunding seems to be the way it's going to go for a while. Eventually, I think you're going to see more indie, independent, fully independent combo creators, less small market companies, unfortunately. But crowdfunding will be how publishing gets done through the indie market in the future. But as Daryl was saying, there is no, the comics are not going anywhere. Superman is Americana, will always be Americana. Batman, Spider-Man, Avengers, all those guys. The DC, Marvel, and comics themselves are extremely healthy. Current statistics demonstrate that comics at their highest point in the last 13 years are actually going up instead of down. They actually did better on some level during COVID, surprisingly, than most of the surrounding industry did. So they're healthy. Whether or not the digital sales of comics increase versus hard copy sales, only the future can tell, but I think there'll be enough people like me who still buy their comic books on hard copy that I think it's going to be healthy. Local comic shops will be healthy for the most part. The demise of comic books has been stated so many times for so many decades, and it's been proven wrong every single time. And I don't doubt that trend is going to continue where people keep saying the doom of comic books is, you know, next couple of years. And then 100 years from now, we're still buying Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Avengers, all this other crap. And it's going to stay that way. It's just going to be a question of, will indie comic books keep doing individuals through crowdfunding, or will smaller indies pop up and become the better home? But I'm thinking we're probably looking at crowdfunding as being the future of publishing
for indies. That's interesting. I was going to say, like, I don't see comic books going anywhere for one big reason, is that when it comes to creating a medium in which to express a story, I think comics are, you know, although like for an independent creator, they're, you know, relatively expensive compared to any other form of media. They're not. It's probably one of the cheapest forms that you can spend on other than just a novel. But a novel won't create a world. Right. You know, like it's very, you know, novels that get turned into movies are really old novels for the most part. There's very few exceptions, like maybe like Harry Potter and Twilight. Right. Most other movies that are based off of books are much older books. And it's because like they've had so much lore built around them. People have drawn maps, like people have made cartoons about them. Right. So like they've had a world built around them. But when it comes to comic books, you immediately see that world. So you know what it's supposed to look like, you know what's in that creator's mind. And so that's the reason I see it sticking around, is that it's such an effective medium to start storytelling around a world that can, yeah, like Daryl was saying, there's a lot of money to be made after that. You can, on our last podcast, we were talking about how, you know, you can create your thing and then sell it in 11 different ways. And like, with just a comic, you can do variant art. But then after that, there's animation, there's live action, there's action figures. Like, there's all of these things that can be built up around it. All it is trying to get someone to buy into the story. And like, that's the most important part. And that's why, like, as long as your characters are well-developed, as long as your story is captivating, someone will connect with it. And if enough people do, like, that becomes profitable in some way to be able to move that throughout the industry, the entertainment industry, in a variety of aspects. So that's definitely how I see that going, is that it's just, it's too perfect of a medium to just get the ball rolling on building a world.
Yeah.
Greg's like, yes.
Speaking of crowdfunding, you guys do have those, like, either coming up or you did have one. So what's some advice that you can give to some creators that are just starting crowdfunding, or people that have done crowdfunding, but maybe, like, you could give them some pointers or advice?
Go ahead.
No, I'm pretty new, so the only thing I can say is, be prepared for the roller coaster of a ride that it is. That's the thing I would always tell people.
All right, I'll jump in. For one of my side gigs, I'm a publicist for Kickstarter, so I have a little bit of insight. The best advice I can give you, first off, start early. If your Kickstarter is in April, you probably should have started promoting in February. That's probably the best thing to say. And also, keep in mind, despite what some people say in the comic book industry, if you're in comic books, you are also in marketing. And just because you don't have a Kickstarter going out tomorrow or next month or even in June, you should still be marketing yourself all day, every day on social media platforms. And you do not give up on any social media platforms. You're on, should be on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And you know what? If you can try to get Hive to function properly for you, try that. Spoutable, Tribal, LinkedIn. If they allow you to post something, post to it as often as possible. And you're going to get to the point of being annoying about it. But those who are annoyed by it are not going to support you anyway. So screw them. So just keep doing it. Also, plan ahead. Like I said, make sure you properly figured out how much everything's going to cost you. I got a Kickstarter going. This is my second one that I'm doing myself. I usually do other people, so I don't do this, the pricing part. Make sure you price properly. I'm actually kind of a little scared that I priced improperly, and then when the backers come and I have to fulfill everything, I'm looking like, oh shit, I didn't realize, this thing cost $25. I'm selling it for $30. I got $250 now putting towards my artist. Make sure you try pricing things properly. But get that notification page rolling. If you're on Kickstarter right now, the End of All Terminus has a notification page right now. Go to it, click on it. It helps us out. It helps against the algorithms. So when you do go live, they'll pay more attention to you and they'll put you towards the top. But promote as early as humanly possible, and then don't stop promoting even when everything's done.
I would say, like Jeffrey said, start off early, build up your fan base, get that email list, get that call list going out early as soon as possible, collect landing pages, build landing pages, do promotions, like subscribe to my website, get a free t-shirt or something like that, just get people excited about it, send out constant email reminders. What else? Do some fan art showing your character for the Kickstarter, like, hey, this is my main character, here's some fan art of it. Get people hyped up about it, get people talking. But the most important, I think, thing that helped my Kickstarter, I did two Kickstarters, they both reached above the goal, was the email list. That's what helped out this. Oh, I forgot about the Kickstarter. Well, here's the email reminder. Oh, here you go. Thanks for clicking on the email. Let me pledge now. So, and also backing other creators' Kickstarter helps too. Like if you become a super backer or a super pledger, like it shows up in your Kickstarter profile and an artist recognizes, hey, that's so-and-so, he's the creator, so-and-so, he backed my Kickstarter, so let me back his Kickstarter. So, indie people help indie people, so.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Something Jeffrey said, too, about being on all the platforms, like, 100%, like, it's crazy to me, like, people aren't on Facebook, and it's like, there are, like, hundreds, if not thousands, of independent comic book groups on Facebook, and to ignore it because you don't like it, it's kind of like saying, yeah, I don't really want my fans to read my comics unless they come to my store in the middle of nowhere. Like it's kind of and like you said too, if you're in the comic industry, you're in the marketing. If you're in any industry, you're in the marketing industry, right? Unless you are employed by a company to do one task, you're a marketer. If you're making products, you're a marketer. If you're making comics, you're a marketer, right? If you're a salesperson, you're also a marketer. It doesn't matter. Like, you're trying to be promoting yourself. So I definitely agree with that. And then, yeah, obviously pushing yourself early, like, that's huge. A lot of people, like, they want to launch. Yeah, like, I was thinking about running it in a couple of weeks. It's like, do you have a following? Right? Does anybody know you exist before that? I had a client who wanted to run crowdfunding for, like, a company, like, not even a comic book, but, like, a company he wanted to do. And I told him, like, you know, you don't have any following online. Don't waste your time with crowdfunding, because if you're getting venture capital, right? Same in the comic space. If you're getting signed to, like, getting it in advance from a small publisher, the whole idea, or one of the big guys, obviously, the whole idea is that they've got that money to push up front, and they've read through your comic, and they're going to do the marketing. But if you're going out there and you're trying to crowdfund from random people that have never heard of you, like, why would they donate to you? You basically have to duplicate yourself for every individual one of them, as if each one of them is a venture capitalist trying to back your project. And so, like, that's a huge deal. Like, you should be out there already. You should have people who are begging you to release stuff. There's a music artist I've worked with who literally used to be on TikTok making funny jokes, and then periodically mentioned he had music. And at one point, his TikTok blew up. He's got 400,000 people following him, and people are begging him to release his music, right? That's kind of the idea. He didn't have any, like, you know, huge project planned or anything like that, but people wanted it, so he ended up creating it. And so that's kind of the idea, is, like, if you know you're going to be creating something, you should definitely be doing stuff like that. You should be on as many platforms as you can physically handle. I wouldn't say to be on every platform, because then if you've got an empty platform and people are messaging you and you don't reply to them because you never open it, you're going to leave a bad taste in their mouth. But you can definitely handle, like, 3 platforms. And obviously, if you look at all of the internet usage in the world, I think monthly visitors to Google, 18 billion, right? 18 billion monthly visits to Google. So if you don't have a website that people can come find you, you're already missing out on the largest traffic. The next largest, if you want to look at the social media platforms, excluding YouTube, YouTube's, like, right there with Google. It's the second highest search engine in the world, is Facebook. And Facebook's only 2 billion monthly visitors. So you can see how drastic that is. So, like, having your own website, and then obviously having something like a Facebook page, is absolutely necessary. And then after that, I would pick a couple others. Like, Instagram is a great one, because this is a visual art. I guess if your comic has a lot to do with business, LinkedIn's not too bad, but you should have a LinkedIn anyways if you got a company, right? Because then it's like it shows you're a professional. Someone could look you up and be like, oh, like, he has a little DBA or LLC for his business, whatever it is, right? So there's things like that, but yeah, you definitely should be everywhere talking about it all the time. But also, don't do stuff that you know you wouldn't like to see from other people. Like, if you signed up for a newsletter and all they ever said was, give me money, give me money, give me money, you probably wouldn't like that. But if when they're signed up for the newsletter, they get to see exclusive concept art, unreleased drawings, right? So, like, the rough sketches of the comic before it's even inked or penciled, like, that's a cool thing. And then that makes it feel exclusive. That's what I would say for the newsletter. And 100% an email list is, like, the golden ticket. Like, if you don't have an email list, like, you're going to be in for a rough time.
Yeah. Our email list doesn't seem like many people from that have went to our Kickstarter. But either they didn't see it yet or something, I don't know. But we're going to actually be able to grow that, because our last episode, we were talking about comic conventions, and we have not done one. We've been to a couple. Like, Dylan went to New York to 2018 or something, but I couldn't because I was poor. So I didn't get to go to that. I couldn't find $50 or whatever it was. So he went and had fun, and I had to, like, you know, either work or just be miserable. But we're actually doing our first convention, like, in 2 weeks at, like, a completely new convention. They actually invited us just because, like, it's a friend from, like, high school. And so I'm hoping we can actually grow our email list there. It's mostly D&D people, but like I'm pretty sure like we're gonna find some people that like comic books. That's, you know, he invited us there. So yeah, that's gonna be cool.
And I think the person like hosting it too, it owns a comic shop. It's a game and comic shop, so it's not like just
No, he's not the one that owns it. The other vendor that's there is like a Zombie Planet, which is
That's what it was, yeah.
But they're only going to have D&D stuff there. They're not going to sell comics. So the other people selling comics are going to be us. So like, if you want a comic book, you have to come to us.
Conventions are a great way to build up an email list, too. Coming up this year is going to be my fifth convention I've been to. That's where I get most of my email list built up from the conventions. By doing, I do promos. You join my subscribe list, you get a free digital copy of issue 1 and 2, and a lot of people sign up for that, so just they don't have to buy it, and then if they like it, they can come back and purchase issue 3. So that's what gains a lot of followers on my email list, is doing promotions. Hey, sign up, subscribe to my channel, and get issue 1 and 2 for free, the digital copy, and it gets straight to their email. So
yeah, one thing I would say in that too, it's like when you go to a convention, like look at it as if you just spent, you know, let's say it's a $200 table, like look at it as if you spent $200 on Facebook ads, right? Like if you're trying to like reach an audience, and if on Facebook, if the Facebook ads were like trying to capture emails and you're doing it for, I don't know, $1 a person, which is probably, you know, pretty cheap, right? Then the whole idea is that that's what you should aim for at your convention. Then try to get 200 people to stop by your table, right? Try to really promote yourself. Get the other big thing. I think I mentioned this in our last episode. If you do conventions, get photos that can show social proof that, hey, we're not just somebody in our basement that happened to, you know, find some artists online and throw something together. You know, we are a real business or a real comic book creator. Like, we're really trying to do this. You know, and so take those photos. You can reuse those photos for years, showing that you're at a convention with your table and your sign. And that's the thing, is like people are like, I don't know if I should buy this, you know, $100, the retractable signs. It's like, yes, but don't look at it like that. Take that one sign, get 3,000 pictures of people near it, right? And suddenly you have a bunch of marketing material for the next, you know, forever, right? Like that's kind of the idea. And like, you know, some people on their podcasts or when they are guests on podcasts, they'll throw up their signs behind them. So now you're getting more marketing and you're putting that out there more. So I would definitely recommend conventions. And like you said, yeah, it's a great place to get email lists because everyone there is, you know, in that space. Like, you know, this is the stuff they're interested in. So it's kind of like going to, you know, don't go to McDonald's and offer salad, right? Like, go where the people are and give them what they're looking for.
You know, talking about taking pictures at conventions, if you got a show like this, having a small video of you at that convention and showing it to your fans while you're on that video, this is one of the things I've done. I mean, again, I've only been in it for a year, but I'd like to take at least a 5 or 10 minute clip. If I can go live, I try to go live from a convention for 5-6 minutes. Just say, hey, this is where I'm at. Come visit me if you're in the area. And if not, let me show you around so you could see what conventions are like. That's definitely a great way to connect to people.
Yeah. There's a guy I'm friends with that he's like religiously, like I think only on Instagram now. His name's Joe Vallon, and he's written a couple books that I have. He's done a couple of comics, but he's mostly just focused on his books right now because the comics like industry has like screwed him over like time and time again, which people probably hear like know that some artists or writers like they ghost one another depending on like situation. I've had that happen to me, but I was just talking to him like the other day because I was telling him how much I hate my job, like I despise it, and he was telling me like catching me up on his life and stuff, and he's like, yeah, I'm in a different place now in Colorado, and he's talking about like, yeah, there's a pit bull here, it's pretty cool. That has nothing to do with the story, he just told me that. And I was telling him that we're doing our first convention, and he was like, yeah, so you should not be behind your table, you should be like in front of your table, which I thought I heard you shouldn't do that from someone, but he was saying to be in front of your table and kind of like just like be annoying to the extent of like, you're gonna purchase my thing and you're gonna like it. But yeah, in a nice way.
Yeah, I don't know about the annoying part, but definitely being in front of the table is not a bad idea, like, to draw people over, because, like, seeing someone standing near it as opposed to just someone sitting down, because I feel like some people, it's not even just sitting down. Like, if you're sitting down and you're, like, happy-go-lucky, you might attract some people, but I feel like what happens is people sit there waiting for someone to come up, and then they keep sitting there, and then they're sitting there, and then they're sitting there, and they're like, yeah, like, no one's going to approach you if you look depressed. I'm here to have fun.
So one thing I always tell people is make sure you say hi to everybody. You know, I went to conventions just to scout them out before I started doing them myself. And I took a $100 bill and I said, you know, the first person that says hi to me and starts introducing themselves, I'm going to buy their stuff. And I walked throughout that whole convention three times. And there and at that point, I said, whenever I get tables, I'm going to make sure to say hi to everybody, and not kind of rude or, you know, to flag them down, but at least say hi to them and make sure that they feel noticed, because you never know who's gonna buy. I've heard the in front of the table a few times, and I've heard that it's kind of bad because some people don't like walking up to another person or another person kind of being in their face. It's a psychological kind of thing. I look into psychology whenever it comes to being at conventions, and I know a lot of people don't look at that, but I look at taglines. You might not like this product, but hey, let me show you a page or two. You know, it's kind of like that negative thing that draws people in. There's a lot of tips and tricks that you also catch from other people at conventions.
I think from my experience, there's a couple things that I learned. First off, try to be the artist, not the writer. This seems to be a good tip. But try to look busy at your table. If you're an artist, obviously draw something because you look busy. If you're the writer, have someone at your table with you that you're at least having a conversation with. As long as you look, there's usually two kinds of people, and you're never gonna make everyone happy. You're gonna piss off half the people no matter what you do. If you're in front of your table, you're gonna piss off the introverts. If you're behind your table, you're gonna piss off the ones who are looking for, you know, that engagement. I do find that sometimes just having someone next to you, you're in a conversation, people will be more comfortable come to your table because they're not being necessarily attacked, or they don't want to be, you know, accosted by the table, and they'll kind of look around and be a little more comfortable with it. And then you look over, say hello, maybe say something if they you know, get some eye contact. Sometimes I see that works as well. It depends. And nothing you say is going to work with everybody. Like I said, the introverts are not going to approach you if you're in front of your table. They're scared of you. If you're behind your table, those people who are kind of looking for that, you know, I'm looking for that social interaction kind of thing, will maybe be kind of turned off because you're not giving them full attention. Just try to do what feels comfortable for you. Try to feel the individual out who comes near your table, and try to figure out, is it someone who wants to talk? Is it someone who wants to be left alone? If they pick up something through your comic book, probably shut up. But maybe if they're kind of looking, kind of point out, hey, this is a fun sci-fi comic, something along those lines, and see if they make if they say something to you. If they don't say something to you, shut up, let them look. If they kind of look up and make eye contact, say something else. You got another maybe 5 seconds of their time. Try it.
Try asking questions, I would say. Like, if I agree with what you're saying. If they're looking at your comics, let them enjoy it. Like, don't interrupt them while they're potentially reading. Nobody likes that. But, like, yeah, if they look up at you, I wouldn't just be like, you know, hey, here, look at something else. Like, maybe ask them, like, oh, like, what do you think about her? Like, people tend to automatically try to answer questions, even if they're BS answers. But like, it's just something, it's a good way to get someone to engage with you, is because they're now replying to you. It's just a good strategy. And honestly, just based on like what you guys have been saying, I probably would recommend sitting near the end of your table. And that way it's easy to just get up and go in front. I would also probably recommend having two people, one behind the table and one in front of the table, just talking to the guy behind the table, and then just say hi as people wave by. You know, then you're not so unapproachable. But I would say that it's going to be really hard for introverts no matter what, because if you're behind the table, now you're that authority guy, right? So that's hard enough already. And if you're in front of the table, so I don't think you're really going to make many introverts happy. It's mostly going to be if they look, like they'll look, and as long as you're not too disruptive to their day, they'll consider it. So that's why you want to have stuff like the banners. Like we want to get the retractable banner. so that we, you know, we can draw people over with like the artwork. Because if your artwork's sitting on your table, they can't see it. Another thing I'd recommend is getting those upright. I got my hands blocked with the blur. upright hands, right, so that the comic book can be visually seen several feet away. Like, you don't want it so that your comic books are flat on the table and you're like, why isn't anyone coming up? Like, how do they know you have comics? They're this thin. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, you want to really try to draw their attention. And like Jeffrey said earlier, like, you're a marketer. Like, go online and look up how to market at like a trade show. Like, that'd be the industry equivalent, like, for businesses. Look up how to do that and then apply that to comics. It will still work, just using different material. So I definitely agree with that. But I like the idea, like, if you only have one person, sit near the edge of the table so you can get around and go up front if they want to be personable, and they can approach you easier if they want to walk right up to you, right? Because then they don't have to like lean over the table or, you know, feel awkward if they wanted to walk around and like look at other stuff you might have, depending if you have like one of the backdrop things hanging, merch or something like that. But yeah, I would definitely, I definitely like that idea. So sit, yeah.
Oh. I was waiting for everybody to stop talking so I can invite Joe.
Gotcha.
What's up?